Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Guys, you know we love bringing you idols that we've had, and that's always the biggest thrill to me is when I can bring somebody in, whether it's paranormal related or not. Like when I had Art Alexakis from Everclear on, and we get to do this today. I can't be more excited than to introduce the one, the only, Tommy Chong. Tommy, thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for that nice intro. Very nice. Appreciate
Obviously, Tommy, you are a name that is known by all generations. You know, I told my kids who were in their 20s and early 30s, hey, I'm interviewing Tommy Chong, and they were all like so excited. I don't even have to tell them who you are. And yeah. Does that amaze you that people in their 20s know exactly who you are today?
It's gratifying. It's like the payment in full. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you struggle through life, and then next thing you know, you're talking to people, kids. You know, well, you know, I'm very popular with a lot of very wealthy Republicans. And the reason is that when you get as rich as these guys are, the only really fun they have is going to eat, going into restaurants, you know? And the reason is that they like going with famous guys, you know, someone like myself, because the reason, like you said, you know, the kids, you know, especially the wealthy people, the kids kind of, you know, they got their life, and the more money you have, the more of a real good life you have. And so you don't really pay that much attention to the parents, you know. And so when the parents say to their kids, oh yeah, we're having dinner with Tommy Chong, the kids, oh really? They wake up and they talk to him. You know, which is rare, you know, for teenagers to have any kind of conversation with the parents, you know. And so that connection, it works really well for me because I get to meet a lot of these influential and very wealthy people. But I also I get a chance to spread my propaganda around with them, you know, because those guys, you know, they band together in the same sort of like, it's a belief that because they're wealthy, that they're somehow special, you know, and I'm there to, you know, not to make it very comfortable for them, you know, because I represent, you know, the hippies, if anything else, you know, I've never left my hippie past. I brought it with me.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. So let me ask you this. How many times over the last 50 years has a stranger walked up to you and started the conversation with "Dave's not here"?
Oh, man. It's almost, well, it is. There is Cheech and Chong language, you know, and all through school, people have done that, you know. Different groups. There's a group called the Chili Peppers, you know, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Mm-hmm. And they were like big, still are big fans because of that sort of secret language that we had with our records, you know, like "Dave's Not Here" was one of them. and if you didn't know what "Dave's Not Here" meant, you found out in a hurry, you know.
Right. So let me ask you this, and like I told you off air, I want to ask you some things that probably you don't get to talk about as much, but I would be chastised by our listeners if I didn't ask you some of this stuff. And the main one that I want to ask, that I'm sure you've probably talked to your blue in the face, is how did you and Cheech actually meet? Now I know this story and I think it's fascinating, so I think it'd be cool for people to actually hear how you teamed up.
Well, Cheech was he was a landed immigrant in Canada because of the Vietnam War, you know. He was part of the college crowd that lost their deferments to and we're going to be shuttled off to Vietnam to fight in a war, you know. And so Cheech made his way up to Canada and became a landed immigrant. And I, on the other hand, I did the opposite. I was down trying to get a green card, trying to get into the States. And then as part of my green card, I had to appear before the draft board, you know. And which I did, because had they said, you know, okay, you can come in, but you have to go in the Army, I would have probably went. But yeah, I was married and older, and they didn't really need me in there. And I got flat feet. There's a few, although I did have military training. You know, I was in Army cadets when I was a kid in Canada. But so Cheech went one way, I went the other way. I had to go back to Vancouver to work on nightclubs. We had a couple of nightclubs there, my family. And so, and that's where I met Cheech, because in working with the nightclubs, I turned one of the clubs, which was a strip bar, into an improvisational theater. And I got, and Cheech got hired on as an actor. And then when the theater group, we were too successful. We changed the strip club from a bunch of crazed biker that threw money everywhere into a well-behaved theater crowd that would count their change, packed the place, but we lost money. And so my brother fired us. And then Cheech and I stayed together and became worldwide comedians.
Now, I heard a story, and you can tell me if this is true or just one of those legends that comes about over years and years, that you guys, Cheech had his band, and his band came down and was supposed to be performing, and you guys were going to open up with some comedy, and you guys did so well with the comedy that y'all went on and on and on, and the band never even performed, and that was kind of what really kicked off the tandem. Is there any truth to that at all?
Well, it just logistics a little different. It was my bad. Because I had been in Motown. That's how I got my green card. And so when Cheech and I lost the job, you know, when my brother fired the theater group, I put a band together. I put a bass player. I got a bass player, a drummer, and a piano player. And we were going to do a battle of the bands. I was putting another band back together again. You know, Cheech was going to be the singer. But when we got in front of the crowd, we'd been doing comedy. And so Cheech and I started off with comedy, and the band never played. We were just too good with the comedy. And we did about an hour show. And then we had everything was so planned with the comedy that that the band never played. And so the band, which was mostly a band called the Powder Blues Band, and they're out of Vancouver, and we never played a note, which was, you know, actually having a band at that time was almost like a security blanket for me, you know, because I'd been in bands all my life and never the best musician. I was always probably the worst musician, but the best organizer. You know, I could organize I don't know where. I guess it came from when I was 8 years old. I learned, my neighbor found out I could play guitar well enough for me to accompany him. He was a fiddle player. Oh, you know, a grown man. And so I started playing dances for parties and that when I was 8 years old, backing up the fiddle player. And so I was always a good sideman. And then I learned a lot from the fiddle player, especially about entertaining people, you know, just make sure, yeah, very simple, you know, because I was only 8, 9 years old at the time. And so he just wanted me to be a steady guitar player, you know, just be the rhythm section for him, basically. And that's what I've done all my life with the guitar. I never really, you know, when you live on the farm or in the country, on a farm, you become everybody because there's no one there to hire, you know. So you learn a little bit about everything, plumbing, driving. You learn how to drive a car when you're really young because, you know, when you're a young kid working in the fields, someone needs to drive the tractor. And right. If you can reach the pedals, that's your job, you know. And that's exactly what I did with the music. I could play the music, but I wasn't enamored to the point where I did it for fun. You know, I did it to help a neighbor. And I also did it for the joy of being able to do it, you know. I found out very early the perks that musicians get, you know, and that stayed with me. That made me something special. Even when I was in school, I'd go to school and these kids would, oh, you know, they play the accordion. Oh, let's play for the class. And he'd get up there and they'd play the little tunes, you know. In the meantime, and I had no urge. In fact, the kids I went to school with, no one knew I played music, you know, because I didn't have to show up to my peers, you know, because I was already getting paid by my neighbor to be a sideman, a real sideman. And so my whole music attitude kind of, you couldn't be a kid in a band, you know, especially if you're playing, you know, dances and that, you know, you're the guitar player, you're the bass player, you're the drummer, you know, you're not a kid, you're right. Part of a band, you know what I mean? And that changed my whole attitude toward everything because you know, my musical ability ended up me playing in bands in you know, and then hitting the street, because I had a choice. I was trying to get through high school, and I couldn't do it. I'm too much of a dreamer. You know, I would, my mind would just drift off into daydreams. And I was told by teachers, I was told by my mother that I had a habit of not being there, you know, just dreaming. And then I got to tell you too, going to Sunday school, when you live in the country like I did, and it wasn't like you owned the ranch or the farm. You lived in the country because that's the rent you couldn't afford. Your parents couldn't afford much more than that. And by the way, living there, we lived next door or across the field from a homeless family. That's why when I see the homeless now, I kind of smile, because my earliest memories after, you know, I was in an orphanage first. And so we moved into the house when I was about 7 years old, I think, six years old. We finally got our house, because before that we were staying with relatives and you know, it was right after the war. And so when you get a house, even though it was outdoor plumbing, it's a house. You know, it's inside, you got a cook stove, you got a roof over your head. And I grew up with the neighbor who he built a lean-to against with lumber that he found. He had a team of horses and a wagon and like a covered wagon, but he excavated little root cellars for these little cabins that were sprung up, you know, past the building inspectors, you know, building code. And so, and he lived with his wife, and then they had like three kids in that homeless shelter. So I understand totally that. And they had a little cook stove. And every once in a while, I'd go over there, and she would, Irene Hall, she would make cinnamon buns, and, you know, very primitive, you know, and the outside. Oh, it was a great life. I you know, my early life, there was no playgrounds. Your backyard was your playground, you know, and toys, there's no toy store. And so if I wanted a toy, I learned how to carve. My grandfather got me carving and playing with wood. And so that's what I had. We had a knife, a little hatchet maybe, and some kindling next to the wood stove. And so I would sit there and carve. And that's what I do now here. I carve this letter opener, and I sit, I sand it, smooth it out, you know. It's just a great feeling I had creating things with my hands, just for myself, for the tools, you see. This is another letter opener, because I have fan mail, and I have to open up the fan mail, and then I found out that this bamboo makes a great joint holders, you know. And so I'll take the bamboo like this here, carve it, and then get me a little joint, you know. And there's something cooling about smoking with the with a long cigarette holder or their joint holder, and they're free. You know, this is bamboo that was going to be thrown in the garbage because it's considered brush. So, you know, growing up, and lately, because I'm older and sort of like at the twilight of my career, I started counting my blessings. And what I was about to tell you before was that because you're poor, the only reason you have to put on nice clothes was to go to Sunday school or church. But it was Sunday school because my parents, you know, they weren't that churchgoer. My mother had been in the hospital with TB, so she wasn't that well, you know, wasn't that mobile. And so she stayed in the house a lot. My dad was a truck driver and Chinese, and he was had no reason to go to any Christian church, you know. But I loved Sunday school because it was a chance to dress. You got to put on your nice clothes, put on your good shoes, dress up, go to Sunday school. And my Sunday school was so small that a lot of times there would be no one there to teach Sunday school. And so I was asked, you know, because a lot of Sunday schools in churches are just daycare centers, you know, just a place where the kids can go.
Right.
So they don't have to sit there and be bored to death, you know. And so so I started and teaching Sunday school really is just reading stories from the Bible, you know. And so I got really into going to into the discovering, you know, all the stories of Jesus and that, you know, and now I understand the how it can be misconstrued. But the good news is that it taught, it gave you time to sit and contemplate and think and hear about spirituality. And I remember very clearly one day, it was just one of those moments, you know, that where the teacher at the time, she showed up and she was telling us that God is everywhere. And I took it to heart. And so I remember going home because everything was, you never got driven anywhere. You walked, you rode your bike, but at night you had to walk because you can't ride at night. And so we'd walk across the field, go to church. Coming out, I'm with my friends and I was walking and going home, and it was a beautiful night. You know, stars were bright as can be and shining and everything. And I'm in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, well, if God is everywhere, he's here. Where is he? And I kept looking into the darkness, thinking maybe God is walking with us somewhere, or he's going to appear, or... And then the reason the memory strikes me so much is that I remember saying to myself, well, God, if you're here, where are you? Where are you? You know? And then I looked up into the night sky. And it was when you're up in Canada near the North Pole, when it's clear, you're like in the middle of the Milky Way. You're not just part of the Milky Way, you're in the middle. And all the stars are so bright, and the galaxies and the comets and the meteorites were just hanging over my head. It was so bright. It was so bright that, you know, you could basically see where you were going. And it was just as bright as can be. And it was like God saying, here I am. You want to know where God is? Take a look. This is the heavens, you know. And so I've always had that. I'm blessed. I know that. I'm very blessed because there was no. You see, in our physical world. you know, we're the chaos is part of the physical world. The fighting, the arguments, the the cruelty, all that is part of the physical world. And it's part, and it's here for a reason. You know, we're here for a reason. We're here to learn. And you only learn from your mistakes. You never learn from your triumphs. You know, you learn that, oh, it's a nice feeling to be number one. Oh, it's a nice feeling for a brief moment. And then all of a sudden, the next, you know, what's next? You've done that. You see, that's why perfection to me, it's not the answer. What the answer is the journey. It's not the being arriving at the destination. That's the end. Life is a journey. And that journey is so exciting because if you know why you're here, then you can really enjoy your life. And most of us don't know why we're here. And we can't, because it's a surprise. They want us, you learn from being, having your attention. Because once you see how things work, then your mind automatically starts looking for another problem to solve. Or, you know, and a lot of our problems are like trying to stay comfortable. You know, because that's usually what we're trying to do, you know, because that's what motivates humans. It's the because we're in the physical world, we need water all the time. We need food. We need sleep. We need so many things that we need. And the idea of living in this physical planet is that's why we are equipped with our ability to move and to feel and to grasp and to hold and, you know, that's why our bodies are so developed over the millenniums, you know, to be where we are now. And knowing all this, it can be comforting more than anything, because the one thing that we as humans we're striving. If you read the holy books, you know, the idea is to become God, not worship a God, but to evolve to the point where, as entities, we have the ability to evolve. There's no end to how high we can evolve, you know, and especially because that's the whole idea of life itself, is to evolve and to learn. And once you learn something, then there's more to learn. And then there's more things to do, you know, just like me playing guitar. Once I learned a tune, whoa, guess what? I learned there's a zillion tunes you have to learn.
Right. At least you know the chords, though, and those same chords can do a lot of different tunes.
Oh, yeah. But then you learn, here's what else you can do with the chords. You know what I learned about music is that music, there are a few things that are intangible, but God, this word God appears to us in as truth. And when you realize God communicates with us through art, through music, and that's his presence. That's why we have idols, you know, the Beatles or Elvis, because they're personifications of perfection, with coming out of nothing, basically, you know. And then you evolve and you evolve, and all of a sudden you evolve into this entity, like music, for instance. when you contemplate, when I do contemplate, I had a hard time with eternity. You know, I have a hard time with, because we're taught that we evolved from a big bang. And I thought, well, no, that's not eternity. If you have a beginning, if the beginning is the big bang, nothing was there until the big bang happened. And then that doesn't make sense. Because there's more than just one big bang, you know, and it's just like the Bible, when the Bible talks about, you know, the Christian Bible talks about Noah and the flood, you know, where God flooded the earth to get rid of the humans because they were so bad. But yet he took a boy and a girl of everything, of horses and cows, a boy and a girl. They made sure, you know, that story of Noah is very homophobic, you know, because it's got to be a man and a woman. And they got on this ark and they're very neat about it. You know, the elephants got in line and everything got in line. It was like, wow, this, you talk about daydreaming. and those biblical stories, which, by the way, weren't written by anybody but humans, you know, and their human understanding. But in there, there's messages that are undeniable. Like, for instance, music. The note C that humans have designated, okay, that's going to be C. We're going to use the alphabet to list the music. But the note C, there's never been a time ever when that note did not exist. It's always been that note of C. Now, if you get a little sharper, then it's called C plus. Or if a little low, C minor. B. And then all of a sudden, if it keeps going down, it becomes B. It's no longer C. Now it's B. And when you realize how that's what eternity is, the note C, it will explain it to you. There's never been a time when that sound did not exist. Wow. Somewhere. Now, maybe not in this galaxy, or this particular universe, because the science has shown us that we got one universe that is totally vast to the point where the more you look, the further more you got to look. And yet we're told that this is just one universe of countless other universes. So that even blows your mind even further. It keeps blowing your mind because there's no end. And then where do we fit? And I wrote a poem once about, it was similar to that, is that I looked into the universe and I saw that I became so small compared to the universe that I disappeared. And then I realized that the fact that I can even think and contemplate that fact of the vastness of the universe made me bigger than that, bigger than the universe, because I have the ability to see and to understand. And that's the whole point of our evolution, is that that's what we're here to do. We're here to learn, and we're here to evolve, and we're here. And that's why all the, a lot of the philosophers of the world, I hate to call them religious because the religion, it's too military militant mm-hmm. somehow. You know, I like philosophers. I like that sound. It sounds better, you know, the philosophers. Because the Chinese, you know, that do unto others as you would have them do in the Golden Rule?
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese have had that in their writings thousands of years before the Christian Bible was even thought about, you know. So that, again, that's you talk about immortal. That's there you go. There you go. The human thought of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, in other words, but that also explains this is what I've been contemplating too. It also explains why these are enigmas. These are situations that never get resolved because they're unresolvable, you know. And so the Bible, the holy teaching, Jesus especially, for Christians, he always taught that I and the Father are one. Now, the Catholics would like to think that Jesus was the Son of God, which he was, which we all are. Because even Jesus said, hey, everything I can do, you can do. Yeah, the mind that's in me is in all of us. And so when as I evolve, as I grow, I learn why we have trouble, because you know, and evil and crime and horrific things happen. Because if you didn't have one, you couldn't have the other. You have to have it. That's why I look at life and I realize that everything. Our computer really is telling us, like, everybody's worried about AI, you know, artificial intelligence. That's God telling us, no matter how high you get, there's something higher, you know, that's universe. And so no matter who's smart, there's always something smarter. There's always something more to learn, something more to grasp. And if you can grasp just the basics, then the happiness that we all seek, we find it. And the joy. I've been blessed. I've been so blessed. And lately, I was blessed with this pandemic. I consider the pandemic a blessing. Why? Well, first of all, if we are immortal creatures, which we are, then it's a phase. We're going through a phase. When people die, the body dies, but just like a car, when the lease runs out, you trade the car in. Or if you wreck it, you buy another one. You know, that's the body. Yeah. Then the body's going to change. You might not need a big car. And so you need a little car. And that's the same thing as our human existence, you know, because we're here to learn. And by the way, we're here to learn and we're here to teach. We're here to teach. And I've somehow evolved to the point where, like, I can explain or I can tell people like yourself about my beliefs. Because everything I'm doing is because of what works for me, you know, my understanding from where I'm situated. And I've learned a lot, man. For instance, people called me a guitar player, you know, in my hometown. They said, oh, Tommy John had a reputation. And I remember years ago when I started playing guitar, I bought my aunt, we were very poor. My aunt bought me the guitar, and with it came a cardboard case, and the cardboard case fell apart. You know, it was cheap made. But I never had another case. I never had even the thought of buying anything. You know, I never, when you had money, it went for rent or food. It never went for anything extra, you know, when you're poor. And so I never bought a guitar case, but I kept the old one. And eventually I had to tie, back in the day they had nylons. And if the nylons got wrecked, they were thrown in the garbage, but they made great rope because it was stuffed. And so I had my guitar case tied with a nylon stocking to hold it together. Well, next thing I know, there's another guitar player. He saw what I was doing, thought that looked so hip that he started carrying his guitar case with the nylon stocking wrapped around it. I don't think his guitar case was falling apart like mine was, but he thought it was a status thing. You know, this guy's so cool, you know, that he does that. Oh, it just made me laugh, because when I, you know, like I said, I was like a farmhand, you know, hey, you need someone to dig a ditch. Okay, here's a shovel. Go to it. Here's what I need. And to me, it was like a guitar. It was the same thing. A guy needed me to play guitar for him. Well, you better have a guitar, because I don't have one. And so my buddy that I played with, yeah, he'd always lend me his guitar. So I never even thought of buying my own guitar. I never had that mentality. And finally, when Cheech and I got together, there was another guitar player that heard I was back in Vancouver, and he actually came from Edmonton to Vancouver with a band, my reputation of Motown and everything else. He wanted to show me how music should be played, and so he showed up at our club with a whole band, and he's gone now, but he was the best guitar player I've ever heard. He could play like Hendrix, could play like anybody. And he actually, and what he would do, because he was so good, he would say, can I see your guitar for a minute? And he'd take my guitar, and then he would play these incredible riffs that I could never play in a zillion years. And it would sound like Hendrix. He could do all these things with my guitar. And then he'd hand it back to me, and it was like, now what am I going to do? Well, he actually made me quit guitar. And the way he made me quit guitar is that I found out I could do comedy. No one else could do it, including him. He couldn't do the comedy that I could do. That was my niche. I found my niche, thanks to him. Because up until then, I was kind of, I knew better. You know, I knew I wasn't the guitar player, you know, people that don't know anything about music, you know, they, oh yeah, you played with Motown. Oh, you must be. In fact, I get letters and stuff now, you know, saying, commenting, oh, you're a good guitar player, but I'm not, and I never will be.
Tommy, so we're getting down to the last few minutes that we have here. So let me hit you with a couple of quick hitters. You were fantastic with your character, Leo, in that 70s show. Were you surprised that they did a reboot with the 90s show and gave you a call and said, hey, we're doing this other show, we want you back?
Not at all. In fact, I kind of had fantasies of doing a spinoff of Leo using that character, you know, because it was so popular, you know, and it is so popular. Yeah, because all the kids, I mean, they weren't even born when I was, you know, I was into my, fifth career, you know, as Leo. But yeah, I found, this one, you know, why people act or do what they do. we're driven. We're not, there's no, no secret behind it. You know, it's sort of like a need that I had. And I think with Leo, I grew up, like I said, on the farm and or near next to a farm, and where you would just help people. It didn't matter who they were. If they got stuck in a ditch, you go help them. It could be anybody. And in the country there, you don't really have enemies, you know. You got people like a wolf or something wanting to eat your chickens or a coyote. You know, I mean, it's just about food. It's about existing, you know. And I don't know. Me being in the home too when I was real, real young. When you're in a facility like that, right? And this is why I was no problem with me in jail. The first thing you learn is to make friends with the biggest, meanest guy there, and then you hang around in the shadow, you know, like a pilot fish. You know? And so I've done that all my life. You know, I've always found myself with musicians that could play better than me, but I could do something that they needed, you know, keep the time. And so I've always been around people that where I could learn from. That was a trick, being around people you can learn from, and then being able to teach. The best way to teach anybody is by example. You know, when I was on the Dancing with the Stars, you know, I was having a hard time. Then all of a sudden, it dawned on me. They had pro dancers hanging out, waiting to be asked to be helped. And so all of a sudden I said, you know, instead of me struggling, I said to the pro dancer, why don't you show me what to do? And the pro dancer goes, oh, well, thank you. Because they're, you know, they're trained to dance all day, you know. And so they would show me what to do. And so what I learned very early is to respect people for what they are and to avoid people that aren't that cool, you know, that nice, or dangerous people or that. And so I was very, it came from my early life. And so when I got in the 70s show, for instance, you know, I wasn't concerned with my talent. I knew what I could do, no problem, you know. And so I've done this with my kids too. I learned from my kids. And so when I was at that 70s show, I was learning from those kids, you know. I was like the least of them all, but I was that cheerleader that they knew was there, you know, and they felt comfortable around me. And as a result, the audience picked up on that, you know. And then with the records and everything else, that was a very special addition to the show, you know. And what it really did with the show is just made everybody, remind everybody, this is a comedy. This is fun. This is your, you know, this is that nice feeling you get when you're solving problems, you know. Everything's fine.
You know, my favorite Leo line was actually in the 90s show. And it's, you said something to the point of, I've fallen out of three roller coasters, four if you count the fourth one. And I just thought that was such a brilliant line.
Isn't that great? Wasn't that the best one? Yeah. Fun fact for Leo. I've fallen out of three roller coasters, four if you count the fourth one.
Tommy, how can, if somebody wanted to buy some Tommy Chong related merchandise, where could they buy some stuff at?
TommyChong.com, I think. I have never bought anything for myself. So, but you go online, you can find everything, you know. I do we're selling gummy bears, you know, to help you sleep. And they're really good, the Cheech and Chong gummy bears. And we're selling, and I sell Nice Dream sleep aids and stuff like that. It's not me, you know, it's the people that do that. I'm the spokesperson for it all. But yeah, I've got some nice product. And like I said, I'm getting, I'm making NFTs.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, those are hot now.
Well, because what I want to do here's one of them. This is this little guy. I'm making a whole bunch of warriors, you know, with different. They sit on. Eventually, they sit on top of empty kombucha bottles, and they're warriors. I'm going to build their outfits on there, and but they're a bomb. But they're collectibles, see? And the idea of selling my collectibles is to raise money because I want to become the richest man in the world. And I think I can be. Yeah. And the reason it is because I know with my training and everything else, I know what to do with money. See, most people on the planet, they have no clue what to do with money. And that's why you have people around them saying, hey, buy this, or you need that, or hey, why don't you live here? Or you can, you know, the rich people, for the most part, they're spending so much time trying to get, you know, inventing that, whatever it is, or writing that book or whatever it is, that they don't have any experience in with dealing with large amounts of money. That's why you see a lot of thievery going on and you know, governments falling, and it's all about money. And what it is, it's not so much the money, it's the fear of lack of money. If you don't have money, it's the fear. And so a lot of people that have money, they hoard it. They try to make more money with it, more money, and it's like an addiction for so many of the people. And so what I want to do is become the richest man in the world. Why? Because be like the natives in the Northwest, you know, the Haiti. They have what they call a potlatch, and a potlatch is when the chief, after a year, a chief has acquired so many gifts and so many things because he's the chief. And so they have a party, and then they give away all the chief's belongings to the rest of the tribe, to people who need it. You know, food for the hungry, clothes for the people that need clothes, houses or boats or paddles or whatever to the people that need it. You see, so you don't just accumulate a lot of wealth. And that's a problem that we have in a capitalist society, is that you have people where they just stockpile so much wealth that it becomes their jailer, you know. They're so busy trying to protect their vast empires that they lose sight of why they're really here, which is to enjoy themselves. And I see that's why a lot of wealthy people, kids especially, they don't have much to live for, so they'll get into dangerous race car driving or skydiving or doing something where their lives are threatened, because that's the whole point of life is to work your way out of these problems, and you know, not just sit sipping a martini or something in a luxury resort, spending thousands and thousands of dollars a day on rooms that you never go into, let alone, you know, you're just spending, and people that get the money, yeah. So a lot of them, what I want to do, once I become the richest man in the world, is to create a system of living where you don't have to go to war. You don't have to, you know, lose your soul, you know. In fact, if you do it right, you become immortal, you know. And I can see that happening. It's sad when you see, you know, a guy like, well, different people. I won't even name names because it doesn't matter. It's just people that were on the right track, and then all of a sudden they got sidelined by fear. That's what ignorance is. Ignorance is fear, and what we want to spread. That's why knowledge is called considered light. You know, you shine a light on something, and then once you shine a light on something, then you can see it how it really is and what needs to be done. You see, everything that's in the dark, you don't know. Then the mind can conjure up all sorts of things. You know, so that's really what drives me now. And it's not me, by the way. It was never been me. That's why the daydreaming comes in when you're sort of waiting for the message to come, and that's what I've been doing.
Well, I for one want to thank you for all the daydreaming, because it's given us years and years of awesome entertainment. And I want to say, you know, on behalf of all of our listeners, I really appreciate you sharing a lot of stuff that you shared today that I don't think that I had a clue I was going to get. But I couldn't be happier about it.
Well, no one ever does, you know. And like I say, I've everything that's happened to me and to everybody, really, we create our own future. You know, we're busy creating our own learning pods, you know, we're all of a sudden we're in a situation, and the way you get out, you learn how to get out of it, and it's all about survival. And the amazing thing, when you learn that eternal life is eternal, then there's no rush. And that's the secret. I told a guy up in San Francisco, we were up there raising money for the Cheech and Chong. They were going to be dispensaries, but now we're changing up. But the Cheech and Chong juggernaut, you know. And there was a guy up there that was raising money. Oh yeah, he had money. He made a lot of money with selling during the pandemic. I think it was masks or something. He had some connection anyway. All of a sudden, he's a billionaire, and he was about to do a talk, and he's all nervous because you know I was getting ready to do some kind of stand up, you know. And he asked me for some advice about stand-up. What should I do? And so I told him, the secret of the pause, P-A-U-S-E, the pause. And when you're talking, I told him, I said, whenever you get a chance to pause, pause, wait. And what happens, so many people, when they like when people listen to music, all they hear is the tempo and the melody. They don't listen to the words. In fact, they'll misconstrue the words up, you know. And that's because, and that's our life. Messages are hidden in our world, and they're all around us, you know. Like I watch a show on hummingbirds and how hummingbirds are so incredible, and that's what our life is laid out before us, it's up to us to understand it. But the biggest thing that you can do for yourself is to acknowledge that the quiet, acknowledge that space that you have. And when you do that, especially when you're talking, when you pause, when you're given speeches or whatever, then it's the Holy Ghost, by the way. You know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. I was on my computer and I'm working away, and all of a sudden, Siri talked to me. And it told me, it says, if you want, I can type. No, what did it say? It said something that I can record what you want. You just have to tell me. And it was like the voice, the computer talking to me. You know, what? Who said that? And so I picked up my book. I got a book here. It's called The Runner's Bible. And it's for people about the Bible, little excerpts of the Bible for people on the run. And so I thumbed through it and I stopped. And first of all, I said, who said that? And so I thumbed through the Bible, the book, and I opened it up. It was the Holy Ghost. See, we all have the Holy Ghost. And that's what the pause will do. If you pause in your life and just listen, be still, for I am God. That's one of the quotes. Then out of the quiet comes, like I said about daydreaming, out of the quiet comes the answer. And the answer was like, when I'm typing, all of a sudden, the computer actually spoke to me. And it's going to probably speak some more to me. And I got to be very careful too, because I'm a big spoiler alert guy. You know, I've told too many people, you know, that, hey, you know, it's okay. You know, we're eternal beings. No matter what you do, you'll survive. We'll all survive.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Tommy Chong. Tommy, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
My pleasure, my friend. I enjoyed every bit of it.
Same here. Same here.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.